Amen.
And dear Lord Jesus, we continue with our study on the doctrine of the One True Church.
Yesterday I showed you some example based on Genesis and Exodus.
Atimayo bali milanga ku filangiro fimu feminine mukutendeka na mukufuma.
Quite clearly that from the very beginning God has only one congregation, so one community in mind.
Aticha alilonero watu mpaka kutendeka. Lesa ali ku sepe chonganyo chimo nangu ibumba kedena.
So I think the only conclusion today is that because there are so many churches around. I think consciously we are led by the idea of the world into believing that every religion is the same.
Aji chine chine mkutontonkanya leva awa funga ishiwa linga na utotelo yonsariko.
Sometimes we also misunderstood the principle of the nature of God.
Ajimoista to leave no kung pikisya buna wuna ichupo pe ischami bele iapa lesa.
We say that God is all loving and therefore it is not possible for him to destroy all the churches.
Ajipangreta lesa utemo aito achlicha na kuli enoko naule funga enofunse.
I think we are looking at the example in Genesis. We find that apart from the family of Noah and Noah himself, the rest of the mankind was destroyed.
Now, today
I'm going to look at some New Testament examples. First Corinthians, we read chapter 12.
Corinthians chapter 12.
We read verse 12.
Alavelenga na pebula 12.
For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body, the many are one body, so also is
Christ.
We know that there is only one Christ. We say Christ is one. Since the church is the body of Christ, obviously there is only a body. Is that not true? So we know that this body refers to the church.
Right?
Now we read Colossians. Where is the chapter which says that the body is the church?
Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18.
18.
Thank you. 118, yes. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence.
Kalinge wene emutu wa mubiri, olukuta wene, ewa valirepu, liberi, kubafu, makubafuwa.
Okay, it says that the body is the church.
Apacha chi omubiri, chironga nino.
So, when the Bible says one body, it means what? One church. Okay, now we come back to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12.
Chapter 12.
chapter 12.
Corinto Aquarelapo, chapter 12.
I'm going to read verse 13 now.
Bala verengam pe 13.
Which we have spent quite a bit of time this morning to discuss this.
Dio la chikwato kuposa poinchite ikana mamustalo chero kulanda palifu.
Okay, so. For by one spirit we were all baptized into one body.
Bantu kumopashumu eko ifo bonse twabatishiwa.
Meaning, if I paraphrase it slightly, meaning by one spirit we are all baptized into one church.
You understand what I'm saying?
Huh? Okay, now here there's only one spirit. And one body. So where does this one spirit live? In this one body. You get what I'm saying? Is that clear? What? Now, so you know that if God is a spirit, for the church of God, yeah, to grow in a spiritual sense, to grow spiritually.
No,
requires a spirit. So
being
in the body. So you can imagine, if God's spirit only lived in one body, one church, do you think all the other churches are alive in the eyes of God? No. Yes,
no,
they are all dead. Because James says, the body without the spirit is
dead.
So this, if this one spirit, which Phil already know, only live in one body, which is the
church,
so ask you a question, where do you find this spirit? Where do you receive this one spirit? Here in the church of God. So meaning all the other churches are without the spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So all the other churches are dead spiritually. That's why for you to come, you need to be baptized. So when you are baptized, you are baptized by a person, no doubt about it, but the actual person who incorporates you into the body of Christ is the Spirit, one Spirit.
Right?
Now, one spirit, then one body. Return to Ephesians. Chapter 2.
Ephesians chapter 2.
Ephesians chapter 2.
Then Ephesians chapter 2.
We read verse 16. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16.
And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity.
Kabiri uti awikishishe kuchimuti cha pindama bonse babiri mumupashi umo kuresa.
Now, you know, after we have been reconciled by God,
we
reconcile to God in one body, in the body.
Yeah?
Meaning, we are reconciled to God in one church. So, if you are not in this one church of God, you are not reconciled to God.
Okay,
you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? We always say, oh, we are so glad because Jesus died for us. We are saved by His grace. So I ask you, where are you now? If you are not in this one body, then it means that you have not been truly reconciled to God. Can you see the reasoning? Do you understand what I'm saying? Hello, is that clear?
Then we switch.
Yeah. One. Okay. Now we come to chapter 4.
Now we come to chapter 4.
Ephesians
chapter 4.
We read verse 4.
Voilà, verse 4.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4.
Okay. Now there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling.
Omubiri umu kabiri umupashi umu ifyo mwayitirwe mucetekero mucetekera kumo.
Now look at the statement that there is one body,
na tuzo shekinso swati omubiri umu
one spirit
umupashi umu.
So you are called by God into this one body, therefore you are given one hope.
Ati echo mwayitwa nalesa omubiri umu echo mwapelwa isubiro limo.
So no matter how you look at it, the entire scriptures is talking about one.
The Bible and different things are all the same. I'm going to say the other part in which
one. Okay. Now I want to read the this Matthew.
Let's go reading Matthew, Matthew
chapter 16.
Chapter 16.
Matthew chapter 16.
Matthew chapter 16.
We read verse 18.
Loving up verse 18.
Matthew 16 verse 18.
Matthew chapter 16 verse 18.
And I also said to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not be built against me.
Naine ndekweva nati niwe Petero kairi pachiriwe ichi epo mkakuna ulukutabwani.
Matthew chapter 16 verse 18.
Matthew chapter 16 verse 18.
Matthew 16 verse 18.
Matthew 16 verse 18.
So now, here if you look at the word church,
it's
in singular.
Mm-hmm.
One church. And the church belongs to Jesus. That's why it says my church. And Jesus never said my churches.
Yes, that is the question.
Because throughout the Bible there is only one body.
And now,
if you look at verse 18 very carefully, God said to Peter, Jesus said to Peter,
yes, so asked Peter.
He said, you are Peter.
And
on this
rock.
Do you know the meaning of Peter? The name Peter means, what does it mean?
Small rock.
Yeah?
And
small rock. Now, you know that you know Peter was like a figurehead in the early church.
So when Jesus spoke
to Peter,
he said, you are Peter.
You
are
the small
rock. But
on this rock,
you know,
what does the rock represent?
The rock represents
Christ, isn't it? You know, first
Christ,
First Corinthians, chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, we read verse 4. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was.
Set
on this rock means on Christ. So the church shall build upon. I think this is very important, yeah? Who is going to build this one church? Jesus is
Jesus Christ.
On where is he going to build? On himself. Can you see now? So the church belongs to Jesus. Now, and also here it mentioned, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Meaning the gates of Hades, the power of darkness, sin, dominion, or whatever, you know, has no grips over the church. Remember the other day, well, the first day when we talked about the church, we mentioned a passage in the Old Testament scriptures. On this mountain, what happened? Yeah, the covering that has been cast over the earth shall be removed, isn't it?
Yes. Now,
what is this covering?
Death,
isn't
it?
So, on this mountain, that is in the Church of God, death shall be conquered. Because the Church has been given power to forgive sin. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why, you know, tomorrow we are going to perform baptism. So in the power of the Spirit, your sins shall be washed away.
Right?
It's not through man, but it's through the Holy Spirit.
It's
okay? Alright, now, I think we mentioned before, right? You said the church must have three requirements, isn't it? The true church must have three requirements, right?
Yes.
So what are the three requirements?
The Holy Spirit.
The church must have the presence of the Spirit.
The truth.
The church must possess the truth. Miracles, signs, and wonders must follow what the church,
right?
So, you know, today we see that some churches, they emphasize so much on what? Crusade, healing crusade. They don't talk about the truth. They don't talk about praying for the Holy Spirit. They only talk about healing. This is very dangerous. Without the truth, without the Holy Spirit, what kind of power is that from that church? You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? So if you have the truth, surely the Spirit is with you. If you have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit will guide you into all truth.
Yes.
And because of what you preach is correct, you find that miracles, signs, and wonders shall accompany you. Actually, you don't have to specifically ask for miracles, signs, and wonders. Because that is the promise of Christ. As long as you preach the truth, with the presence of the Holy Spirit, miracles, signs, and wonders shall accompany you. I think you must have watched a lot of the TV program on gospel channel or whatever. Now the most famous guy is TV Joshua.
Isn't
that so? Yeah. Did he talk about the truth? Does he preach according to the scriptures? Does he talk about the Holy Spirit? Only miracles. Sometimes when you look at the miracle performed, it's quite scary, isn't it? If the Spirit is not there, what kind of power does he have? Where does the power come from? So, remember, for the Church of God, it is not the miracles that save. It is the truth that saves. How would you come to know the truth? Through the Holy Spirit. How would you be enjoyed in the body of Christ? By the Holy Spirit. You hear what I'm saying now? Okay, now what I'm going to do is we're going to look at some examples in the scriptures to confirm that this Holy Spirit and truth and miracles are important. Just look at one or two look at three, refer to Mark 16.
Matthew chapter 16.
Mark 16, yeah.
Matthew chapter 16.
From verse 15 to verse 18.
From verse 15 to verse 18.
This section is about the instruction of Christ to go out to preach.
Mark 16.
Mark 16, chapter 16, verse 15 to verse 18.
Mark chapter 16, verse
15 to 16 to verse 18. Sorry.
Verse 15 to verse 18.
Okay. Now this section comprises of what? The instruction of Christ to the disciple to preach. Yeah?
Iki kipande kiresangwa mu efilangiro efyapelwa efyakuya mushimikira.
Now my question is, can you see the truth? Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is the truth, am I right?
Yes.
To every creature.
Yes.
Come first, isn't it? You preach the gospel, mean you preach the truth.
So
now, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Who saves you? Through baptism, who saved you?
Jesus.
The Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, when it's present, it makes the blood of Jesus Christ available and it washes away the sin, isn't it? That's why you are saved by baptism. So here, second thing, you find the Holy Spirit at work. The Spirit must be there to work. Otherwise, your baptism cannot save you. Now, verse 17 and 18. What did Jesus say here? And this sign will follow those who believe. Miracle sign and wonders, right? So if you preach the gospel, you preach the truth. With the presence of the Spirit, miracle sign and wonders will follow. So even by looking at the instruction of Christ here, the instruction actually consists of the three very important requirements of the church.
Are
you following me?
Yes,
please.
Can you see now? You know what I'm talking about? Or you are totally missing. No, okay, now we look at what Paul says. We turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2.
Ephesians chapter 2.
We look at verse 19.
Balalo chapter verse 19
to verse 21.
I forgot verse 21.
Okay, I want to ask you. Can you see the presence of the Spirit in this passage, verse 19 to 22? Where is the Spirit mentioned? The last verse, right? So when we come together, we are built into what? The temple of God, yeah? So that is the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So the church is the dwelling place where the dwelling place of the Spirit. Now, can you see the truth? Verse 20, am I? Having been built on the foundation of the apostle and prophet, Jesus Christ himself being the chief of the souls. Here it talks about the foundation of the truth. We know that the church believes in the teaching of the apostle, the prophets,
muri bakasesema
and the teaching of Jesus Christ
and master mishako Yesu Kristo
that was all
they will feel that
and that formed the foundation of the church
if you have bango mufula wanukuta
that is the truth icho kishi is that also
they will feel that
now you have the Holy Spirit
no mapana kwa don kwashi
you have the truth
not kwa the chine
now where is the very cool sign of this
nge kusungu shone kwa kwa kripe sapa
that is in verse 19
in verse 19
previously we don't know one another
Previously,
you have no share in the kingdom of God. You were strangers and foreigners. And because by the grace of God, now we have come into what? The commonwealth of the Lord. So that in itself is a great miracle. Is that true? Previously, you have no share in this kingdom. By the grace of God, you have been revealed the truth. Is that not a great miracle? Can you see that? Even when you talk about this church and how this church is to be built up, these three requirements must be put in place. Okay, one more example from the Old Testament scriptures. We turn to Micah.
Micah chapter 4.
Now, we always say that verse 1 to verse 5 here talks about the true church, am I right? Since some of you are new here, I'm going to go through it a bit more carefully in greater detail. You know, on the first day when we talk about the true church, I introduce to you different terms and phrases used to represent the true church. Here it talks about the mountain of the Lord. Obviously, the mountain of the Lord refers to the church, right? That is in verse 1. Can you see? Okay, now when you come to verse
2,
here it mentions what? Zion, am I right? The last part it said, for out of Zion, and then the last statement is saying, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Can you see Jerusalem?
Zion and Jerusalem. Remember on the first day we said they represent the church, right?
Yes.
Can you see now? Okay, now we move on. I want to read verse 3.
Verse 3.
Here it talks about people who come. They will beat their sword into plowshare. Their spear into pruning hooks. There shall be no more sword against nations. They shall not fight anymore. Can you see now? Okay, this is the church of God, yeah? Now, if you look at verse 1 again. And he said, this mountain of the Lord shall be established on top of the mountains, all the other mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. If this mountain refers to the church, obviously mountains and hills referring to what? Other churches and what? Denominations. Is that true? Or we say fellowship. Can you see now? Hello? Is it clear? Okay, now, can you see the three requirements here? Now, the first one is, I want to read verse 2. In the middle part, it says, he will teach us his way. After the people had come to the house of the God of Jacob, after they had come up to the mountain of the Lord, he will teach us his way. Who is the he here? God, isn't it?
Yes.
Obviously, God is the Spirit.
Now,
verse 3. He shall judge between many peoples. Who is the He here? God again, is it himself?
Yes.
So he is in the mountain, means God is in the church.
When are you going to be able to study?
Is that clear?
Yes.
Now, where is the truth? If you read the last part of verse 2, he says, for out of Zion the law shall go forth. Out of Zion. Now, we know that Zion refers to the people of God, am I right? On the first day we talk about it, remember?
Yes.
Isaiah
51 verse 16. And said to Zion, you are my people. Now, those who have flown to the mountain, God has taught them, and from them the law shall go out. Can you see now? How did you come to know the truth? You have come to know the truth through those who have come to Mount Zion, who have been taught by God, and then from there the law go out. Okay, and also what? The word of the Lord from Jerusalem, same thing. Is it not the truth?
It is.
The truth, isn't it?
Yes.
You see the Spirit? You see the truth. Where's the miracle? Verse 3. You know, people who have come to Zion, there is a marked change of behavior. They turn their sword into plowshare. Spear into pruning hooks. What are sword and spear for? They are offensive weapons. They are designed to kill and to destroy. Now they come to the mountain of God. All these are change. What are plowshares? What are pruning hooks? Farming utensils. You find that they are changed to what? To contribute to the good of others. Is that not true? They don't fight anymore. That's why in the True Jesus Church. Tell them, don't bring your spear and sword again. They should have been destroyed long time ago in baptism. You understand what I'm saying? This is a miracle. You see now? Even when we talk about the true church, these three elements must be there. Is that okay?
The question comes in. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. And the maker.
There's somebody that's on, okay?
Maker. Verse 3. Is it not contradicting when we say there's only one church? And now when there's other people say, no, there are other churches. God cannot destroy all the other churches. The other churches are existing. Is it not contradicting because we say there's only one church in Ephesians? And now we come to this maker in verse 3. We say there's a big mountain and the small mountains. Obviously, we say these small mountains are churches. Is it not contradicting?
No. This church is established above them, higher than them. Higher than them doesn't mean that God accepts all of them.
Meaning we should tell them that yes, there are other churches.
Yes, but they do not.
But these churches are false.
No, do not be concerned.
Okay, we say yes, there are other churches existing, but these churches are different from these. Okay. One true church.
When it's said, it's established on top of all the mountains. Meaning it is the house of, it's the church of God that is accepted by God. That's why it's on top.
There is no contradiction. When a person is reconciled to Christ, truly reconciled to Christ, he is reconciled to Christ in one body. But here it says, this church here, in comparison with other churches, this church is the church of God. He's not saying that there are many churches whom God accepts. No. There is only one church.
This man is arguing. He says, this man is arguing. He wants to permit a member out from the church. He's arguing to say, here it says, it means in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, it means one body. And these many parts are other churches.
Is the baptism correct?
So is he arguing, he says.
No, that's why you ask him, is the baptism correct? To be part of this body, your baptism must be correct. You must be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That is a deduction, logical deduction, but which is not in compliance to the scriptures. How can you be part of this body? You must be baptized. How is your baptism conducted? In the name of Jesus? Head bow down? With full immersion? In living water? And the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You understand what I'm saying?
Sorry? Sorry? The only one of her mother, the favorite of the one who bore her. Her daughters saw her and called her blessed. The queens and the concubines and the friends. Maybe I can hear this speech for one church. Out of many churches, God has just
chosen.
Addition,
please.
Yes.
Addition is magical. If we have to study it well, we will see where did the word of God come from. Is it from the hills and the mountains? The scriptures did not state that God also was in the mountains and hills.
That
God was on that mountain. Now we are told the Spirit of God in the church. If the mountain has no water is flowing, if the mountain has no way, then the church is empty, isn't it? It's without the word of God. Will that, is that church, does it belong to God? If His word is not there.
Yes, it could be, what you are saying is right. But the problem also comes in, because all people, for example, Zambia, they say, according to the constitution, they say it's a Christian nation. Are you hearing? That's what they are saying. So, the problem is this. All people say Christians, they are churches. They refer to say, now as Christians we are the correct people, but look at Muslims, look at Buddhism, look at these others. These are the ones that are referred to these mountains. These are not believing Jesus.
The
danger.
Don't separate us from where we have come from. How many bodies?
One body.
That's it. Listen now. Why bring in the constitution?
The body in you, the spirit in you, the human spirit in you, is not the one which is in you.
When you talk about the scriptures, don't bring in the, don't tie in the constitution.
Okay.
I think we need this area.
Zechariah chapter 8, verse 3.
The seeking of truth.
Zechariah.
I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of the hosts, the holy mountain. Okay, so enough of that. I am impressed.